Lord Vader? Do you want to kill some rebels? Come on, let's go and play. We never get to any more. Let's win this war before they get away. We used to blast whole planets, but now we don't. I wish you would tell me why. Do you want to kill some rebels? I really, really hate those rebels.
Go away.
I hope they die.
Initialize sequence.
Check out my podcast on SoundCloud. It's sick. It's sick, sick. All right. And I'm sorry we destroyed your city.
Jarvis, drop my needle.
Force with you, young Skywalker. You are not a Jedi.
That's a fake laugh.
It's real!
You are not a Jedi.
In the why the fuck are we doing this at midnight category?
Oh, I don't know. We were going to start earlier, but we just delayed.
Yeah, you had to sit out there and drop the new soundbite into our shiny new intro.
Yes, I love adding new things in.
Yeah. So anyway, welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. I guess boys and girls would be children of all ages, wouldn't they? I am the greatest man who ever lived, Counselor Jack Lambert, and with me, as always, is...
Butter Nugget, or a.k.a. Mitch.
There it is.
Yes.
Woohoo!
I was wondering if you were going to play that. It's Mitch. Yeah.
And no Ryan.
No.
No Ryan.
Again, he just dropped off the face of the earth again. It's like Panelverse.
He did. Just goes away.
Yeah.
So before we get into the normal shenanigans of this particular show that you are listening to, that you'll find every week, well, not every week, close to every week, on iTunes, Stitcher, and Podomatic, on February 27th of this year, a good friend and talented person in the sci-fi community unfortunately passed away, and that is Leonard Nimoy, who is best known as Spock on Star Trek.
Yes, and even though it is Star Trek, it is still in our category of what we like to talk about.
Yep. So, I mean, Leonard had a long career. He was 80-something. He was old. Which is a terrible thing to say.
He looked it.
He was born in 1931, so do that math real quick. Obviously, best known for Star Trek. He was, however, in Fringe, which I watched a couple times. He was Sentinel Prime, the voice of, in Transformers. He was in Kingdom Hearts, the video game. So he is very much in things that we talk about and enjoy here at the Imperial Jamboree. So in typical Imperial Jamboree fashion, I'm going to play a tribute that somebody else made for him. But we'll take a little moment of silence after that, and then we will be right back with you.
I believe in living a creative life. You are the creators and the curators of your own lives. You create your own life and your work. Give us your best. Give us the best of your art. We crave it. We hunger for it. Help us to see ourselves, to know ourselves. Illuminate our lives. And keep in mind what Victor Hugo said,
Popularity is the crumbs of greatness. I cannot leave without saying to you, in all sincerity, live long and prosper.
Yes, live long and prosper indeed, Sir Leonard Nimoy. Rest in peace.
You know, an interesting thing is,
what's that?
If you Google his name, like one of the first things that comes up is him singing the Ballad of Bilbo Baggins.
Yeah, he did like an album. Like back in the 70s, I think every Star Trek person did an album. Captain Kirk did one. That's the great Stewie parody of singing Rocket Man. Stewie is singing it as Bill Shatner singing it. So that's where that whole joke comes from. But yeah, he totally sang The Legend of Bilbo Baggins, and it's bizarre if you haven't seen the video.
No, I haven't seen it, but it's one of those to-do
lists.
Pull
it up. Let's play a little piece of it.
All right, give me a brief moment, because I need to prep it.
Cool.
What other stuff has he... I mean, he's got a lot of history, obviously. He's done... he's been part of Lord of the Rings for some part of it. I thought he was in the animated version of Lord of the Rings.
I am not sure, to be honest, but I do have IMDb pulled up here, so let's see.
And I know he did a lot of voiceover stuff in his older age, for sure.
Yeah, he even his younger age, well, young for an 80-something-year-old man in the 80s, he definitely was the voice of the animated Transformers movies, one of those characters, and then they kind of brought him back in the films recently, which is good, kind of a full circle thing there.
All right, I pulled it up, so
okay, hit us with that.
In the middle of the earth, in the land of Shire, lives a brave little hobbit whom we all admire, with his long wooden pipe, fuzzy woolly toes. Lives in a hobbit hole, and everybody knows him. Bilbo Baggins.
It's very groovy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like flower power, peace, man.
It looks it.
Now hobbits are used to loving folks who know. They're never in a hurry and they take things slow. They don't know
how to travel when they're
home. They just want to eat.
You know, it's funny, we say his young years, but he was actually pretty close to being in his 30s when he first played Spock back in the 60s.
It's weird in the video, too, that they all have, like, Spock ears on.
Do they? I haven't seen it in a long time.
A magic ring stole. He was chased by wolves, lost in the forest, escaped in a barrel from the elf king's hall.
Bilbo.
Bilbo.
Okay. He had enough of that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find when Star Trek was out. I gotta be getting close. He was on Mission Impossible from 69 to 71. Star Trek the Animated Series from 73 to 74. I should probably know when Star Trek was on the air. Like, I think this is something that I should know. It was definitely the 60s, though.
I thought it was 60s, 70s, because Enterprise started coming out in, I thought, in 80s and 90s.
Okay, well, either way, he was born in 1931, so let's say 67, 68 for Star Trek. So he was definitely pushing 30 before he hit his first big character, so.
Yeah.
All right, I think we've spent enough time on Leonard Nimoy, like I said, sir, live long and prosper, and rest in peace. So anyway, what'd you do this week, Mitch? Didn't you go to the House of the Mouse?
I did spend a quite a bit of time at the House of the Mouse.
Ooh.
And,
anything new to enlighten anybody on?
Well, other than that the hat is now down, Hollywood Studios looks actually really, like it belongs.
Which they're changing the name to. Yeah. Something.
It's like the third time they've done this now.
In my heart, it is always MGM Studios.
Yeah.
Fuck a Hollywood Studios. The big rumors is going to be Hollywood Adventure to kind of keep up with California Adventure out there. So we'll see.
Wouldn't surprise me, but I don't know how much of an adventure that would be.
No, I don't either. I actually went to Universal two nights ago to watch wrestling again, which we've talked about on this show. I love going every time it's in town. This is something for a show that won't air until May, so I really won't talk about it in case any fans out there don't want any spoilers. But it's always a good time. I love going. I was kind of upset we had to leave early because our babysitter service was only available till 10 o'clock. So we left at like 9 because it takes about 45 minutes to an hour, depending on traffic, to get from door-to-door Universal to my house. So I actually missed the two big main event matches, but all in all, it was fun. My wife actually got down right against the bicycle rail that they put up so that no one can jump into the ring. And she was standing down there for a while. And I'm not a fan of that because you really can't see too much down there.
Yeah.
Other than like when they walk past you and stuff, you can get some good photos. And that's what she's trying to do. So I just chilled up in the bleachers for a while until she killed her phone taking so many pictures. And then she's like waving at me to bring her my phone so she could continue to take pictures. But needless to say, when this airs in May, probably the first week of May, I think, is when it's going to air. If you watch TNA Wrestling, you can see the greatest woman that ever lived, Jack Lambert's wife, pretty heavily because there was a lot of stuff going on, like, right in front of her.
Nice.
Like, camera people and everything else. So that was good. She had fun. I eventually went down there and stood for, like, the last half hour or so we were there. And I'm tall enough that I could see over people, so it really didn't matter. So I kind of had a decent view anyway, but if you've ever watched wrestling where the stage is at and then they enter and they make that hallway down to the ring, for lack of a better term, we were on the hallway part going to the ring. So we were between the stage and the ring. And, you know, that was good pictures for when they make their entrances and stuff. And a few little brawls broke out in front of her. So she should get some good airtime. Maybe I will, too, for the last half hour of the show.
Maybe enough to get her card.
Maybe. Could be. She gets a side card for being a living scenery at a wrestling match.
Well, that sounds like that was fun.
Yeah, it was good.
I did see that you got this nice picture of some fancy car there.
Oh, yeah. So I go, and if you've never been to Universal Studios Orlando, they have a huge parking deck. There's actually a couple of them. And it was busy because they're doing their Mardi Gras event right now. Wrestling was there, and then also the comedian Ron White, who from Blue Collar Comedy fame, was at Hard Rock Live. So if you know about him, he's got a fairly large fan base too. So the place was packed.
Yeah, that is a crazy weekend.
Yeah, so we went in after 6. Florida residents get free parking, so we went in at 6 because the wrestling started at 7. And the kid should get a gold star or whatever Universal gives you over there because he upcharged us. He's like, you know, we're busy tonight. We've got all these events going on. For $5, we'll let you park in preferred. So I was like, shit, yeah, hell yeah, here's $5. So we did that. And I pull in and I'm looking for a spot. And I see the tail end of like an orange car sticking out, like a bright orange Dukes of Hazzard generally colored car sticking out. And so I jokingly tell my wife, well, I can park down there next to the Lamborghini. And sure as shit, there's a fucking Lamborghini in this giant parking garage that people pay like $17. Mind you, I don't make a whole lot of money. I drive a little black Dodge Caliber. Like, so my maybe $14,000 car was parked next to a $250,000 car.
You figured they would valet that shit.
You would think. Well, but then I thought about it, and I don't know if I'd valet it either. Because if I was the valet guy who got to drive a Lambo, like it pulled up and they're like, hey, park this. It'd be some Ferris Bueller shit going on.
Yes.
So yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'd valet it, but I would have done something. I wouldn't have drove a $250,000 car and parked it with all just the sweaty tourists that are at Universal Studios at 6 o'clock at night.
Well, flaunt it while you have it, right?
I guess, but I mean, I would have been terrified. And it was weird because they double park you. So they pull one car in front and then you pull in behind, and that's how they load each parking space in the garage. Well, he was pulled a good car length behind the car in front of him, which was totally a choice because he didn't want to get so close that they might open their hatchback or whatever and scratch his Lambo. But in doing so, it left the tail end like a quarter of the way out into the travel lane between each parking thing.
Yeah.
So, but and that's how I spotted it. And I literally, I made a joke and I was like, I parked down by the Lamborghini and sure as shit, it was a Lamborghini. So
I'm pretty sure everyone else around him was kind of like, I don't want to park next to this.
Yeah. When we were coming out, I was like, do you remember where we parked? And she said, next to the Lamborghini. And I was like, if it's still there. And by now it was 9 o'clock. Like I said, we were coming out. So the theme parks were and dumping and everything. So people were returning to their cars and there's just a mass of people around it taking pictures. Yeah. And I know they weren't taking pictures of my piece of shit car. So I took a picture with it and put it on my personal Facebook. And then I took another picture of it from the front because he didn't have a front license plate. Ironically enough, he was from Jersey. So they probably drove this Lamborghini all the way down from Jersey vacation and parked it in the schmo lot at Universal Studios. So.
You know, they spent all that money on gas. They had to, go cheap somewhere.
It was a nice car. I mean, it looked good and everything. And the engine's in the back window, which was kind of cool. So you can see all that. It's not in the hood, traditional hood part of a car. But it just doesn't look like something, if I had the money, that I'd pay $250,000 for. I mean, it's a nice car. But unless I'm some type of exotic car racer where I can take this thing out on a track and actually use it for what it's doing. It's not meant to go 70 miles an hour down I-4.
Exactly.
Or I-95.
If you can find a spot to do that.
Right. It's a high performance car that's meant for like racing or something like that. So if I had the money, I might do it if I had some racing background behind it, but I wouldn't just buy a Lambo just to compensate for my small penis.
Yeah. I don't understand, these car people who go all insane about buying all these fancy cars and stuff. You watch Top Gear and it's like, how are you going all, goo gaga for all this stuff?
Right.
It's like, yeah, there's some pretty nice looking cars out there, but I'm not going to spend the money for it.
Well, at least it wasn't like a Toyota Civic with a spoiler that goes, it was actually a muscle car. So.
Or those tailpipes that whistle.
Those things, man. If you're driving any type of a Toyota, don't put a fucking spoiler on it. I don't care what Fast and the Furious tells you to do. Just don't do it.
Have you seen the bright green one at work lately?
You're from California, so that's way more popular out there than it is down here. Down here, it's like thugs who take Crown Victorias and jack them up and have like Skittles advertisements.
Yeah,
on
that's
them
LA.
Or something. They do it. That's way more here. Like, I would have thought that California would have had way more of those rice burner, Fast and the Furious type street rods.
Surprisingly not. No, I find in car world, the rednecks are very much the people outside of the main towns of California. And the, gangsters are all the ones in L.A.
With the Crown Vics on big tires.
Exactly.
Cool.
So
there it is. So I've been doing something that I said I wouldn't do.
What's
and this not? Is going to make our guest last week, Matt, cream his pants. So I've been watching Breaking Bad.
That's nice. I don't think I would ever get into it.
Well, here's the thing. When Matt was here, we talked about it. And then when Matt wasn't here, we talked about it because he kind of forced me to watch the pilot episode. The pilot episode wasn't good, but there was really nothing left in my Netflix queue that I wanted to watch by myself that, like, my wife don't want to watch with me. So I was like, I'll put this on because everybody tells me, hey, you need to watch this show. So I put it on. I suffered through the second episode, suffered through the third episode, suffered through the fourth episode. By the fifth episode, I'm still not sold on this thing, but I'm continuing to watch it. So it hasn't, like, totally lost my attention. It's just, I'm not...
There's no value. Like,
right. It's
no
just
interest.
Something I'm watching at this point.
It's like me
so
in the news.
It was only eight episodes the first season. So when it got to the eighth episode, and then it said switch over to season two, I was like, wow, that's weird. But then I went back and looked, and it was because the first season aired during the writer's strike. So a bunch of years ago. So they got affected by that, so they only did half a season. But anyway, the last episode of the first season was good. It finally hooked me, but it took 8 hours to hook me. Like, otherwise, I was just watching, like I said earlier, just kind of something that's on, and it's not terrible. It's holding my interest. But that last episode was really good. So then I start watching season two, and season two starts off really good. Yeah. And so far, I think I'm on, like, episode 8 of season 2 now, like halfway through the season, and it's still really good.
It's probably because they had a change of writers yeah. after the strike.
So it started off really slow, and like I said, the pilot episode didn't sell me. I watched that with Matt and our other friend Jeremy one night, and then I started watching it on my own, and then the second season starts, and it's fucking phenomenal. It's like I can't stop watching it now. And which is good, because there's not a lot of video games out right now that any of us are playing. So yeah. like our Xbox Online little group that we play with is just kind of either not playing or not doing anything, because we're between like big release games right now. So I need something to do at nighttime other than jerk off. So I started watching Breaking Bad, and I gotta say, if it remains as good as season two is, I know now why everybody's told me to watch it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'd recommend it for you. It's very, it's almost like a Quentin Tarantino movie, sort of. I think that's giving it too much credit because Quentin's a genius, but it's that, you know, dirty, gritty, crime, violent type of show. I mean, it's not really super violent. Parts of it are, but it's not like Walking Dead violent every week.
Yeah.
There are aspects of it that are violent and everything, but that's not the main story. The main story is, everybody who's listening probably already knows, is that dude's got cancer. He's trying to make money for his family, and then where I'm at now, he finds out his cancer's in remission, so he just likes fucking having money and making drugs. So,
yeah, Quentin Tarantino is not one of my favorites. I mean, I've watched like Kill Bill and some of his others, and I just didn't get into it like other people do. So it's probably one of those I'm not going to be that interested in.
Yeah, that's really the only thing I can compare it to, is just there's nothing else. And that's probably why it was so popular, is that there's nothing else on TV then or currently that's like it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that makes sense. Someone tried to get me to watch Weeds at one time.
Yeah, that's on my Netflix queue, which I'm going to start watching more Netflix, because we decided we are cord cutting. We're getting rid of our cable so that we can save $1,000 a year. Are you kidding me? That's fucking ridiculous. With the money I make, $1,000 a year is like, whoa. I'm not buying $250,000 Lamborghinis. You tell me I'm saving $1,000 a year. That's like telling me I might as well be saving $1 million. You know, that's the type of money I make. So I actually did the math last night and figured everything out, and yeah, we're doing it. Got to start my Hulu subscription. I've already got a Netflix subscription. Earlier when Mitch was making the new intro there, I was setting up YouTube so that I could watch like NASCAR clips and things like that I'm not going to be able to see when I cord cut, but I'm stupid excited about it.
That's good.
What? Thanks, Mitch. I'm glad you share my enthusiasm. You're like, oh, it's good.
Well, I don't think I can get away from mine yet. I mean, I probably could. Everyone streams everything now.
Everything I watch is available on Hulu, with the exception of Walking Dead. Like, Walking Dead knows that it's so fucking popular, it's actually charging people for it. But if you go to Vudu, it's like $2 an episode.
Yeah.
So for the whole season, you're looking at $42, $44. That's still way cheaper than what I'm paying cable.
For
I'm
just
paying
one
cable
month.
$145 a month. That's for internet, cable, DVR. So my internet is dropping down to $40 a month. I'm switching from my current provider, who we will not name, to Verizon Fios. So that's going down to $40 a month. Netflix is $7.99 a month, I think, and then Hulu is bundled for the year. But the way I figured it out, by the time I pay internet and the two streaming services, I have the entire year covered with what I was paying 3 months in cable.
Not bad.
So essentially I'm saving 9 months of not paying $145.
Yeah, so that's not bad at
all. So $900 right there. I mean, if I'm paying $45, I'm paying $145 cable. Not paying cable for 9 months, $900.
Yeah, exactly.
Boom.
Sounds good.
Yeah, you should give it a try. I guarantee you there's, and knowing what you watch just by talking on this podcast and knowing you personally as a friend and shit we don't talk about on the podcast, I don't think there's anything you'd watch that isn't available on Hulu and or Netflix. And then you can throw Amazon Prime in, but I looked at Amazon Prime and there's fuck all on there that I watch. So
the only value of Amazon Prime, I think, is if you got their little Fire Stick or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I looked and a lot of the things were duplicated from Hulu and there was really nothing that was particular to Amazon Prime that I can't live without. So I'm just going to go with Hulu and Netflix and call it a day.
Yeah, Hulu is like the TV central and Netflix is like the Movie Central, even though I don't think their movie collection is that good.
Well, Netflix also has Walking Dead, but you can't watch the current episodes. Like, the season that's on now, season 5, will not be on Netflix until at least October of this year, when season 6 starts to air. That's when they'll throw season 5 onto Netflix, and then, you know, people like me will catch up, and they'll still be a season behind. But people that are not like me, because I'm going to pay the $2 episode to watch them, you know, that's still a steal. It's something.
Do you binge TV? Or in this case, binge watch Netflix?
Not usually. If I do, I get bored with it, as is the case with Once Upon a Time.
Yeah.
I watched all of season one, like binge watched it over 3 nights. I thought it was great. And then season 2 started. I was like, yeah. I started watching From Dusk Till Dawn, the series, which I really liked, really, really, really liked and want to go back and finish, but it's a horror type thing. And it was just too much to watch 20 hours of it or something. Yeah. Even though I'm a huge horror movie fan, you kind of got to take it in small doses, especially the older I get, like just too much killing. It brings me down. So, long story short, I guess Breaking Bad is the most I've ever binge watched anything. With the exception of when I discovered Sons of Anarchy, because I wasn't an early bird on Sons of Anarchy. I kind of got it later where someone was like, oh, this show's really good. And they were watching it.
Yeah.
And then I got hooked. So I bought the DVDs and I binge watched all the way up through to where they currently were so that I could start the next season. So long story short, not really. I probably we'll get that way once my cord cutting actually officially happens, which will be, I think my cable bill is due on the 20th. So 4 days, because I'm not going to pay them. I'm just going to call them and say, hey, come get your shit. I'm not renewing another month. So
yeah,
piss off.
Yeah, it's sad to say that that's what, you know, our society has come to is we watch all of these videos and stuff is the moment it comes out on, you know, the internet. And we watch all the way through just so we can catch up just in time, because you all know that they release it right before the next season starts. Mm-hmm. It's like they do them.
Well, here's the deal, too. I've lived probably half of my life, so I have to be very selective with what time I have left. I am 38 years old. Chances are I'll live into my 70s, maybe. So if you do that math, I've lived half of my life. I can't sit there and just watch hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of TV.
Exactly.
I just don't want to. I mean, there's way too many other things in the world. This is the part of the show where I bring it down. I'm going to die someday, kids, just so you know. But there's just so many other things out there that I want to see and do that I don't want to be cooped up, especially in something like a coworker of ours said that he just finished watching Lost. Okay, good. Lost is like 8 seasons or something ridiculous. At 22 episodes a season, that's 88 hours of TV that 2 weeks of my life essentially just gone watching that show, and I can't do it. What are you looking for over there? Your sound clip that you got going on. Oh, there you go.
There it is. That took forever.
Your sound clip that you had going on in your head just... took too long.
I know. I was so trying and it failed.
Well, that's a good segue, Lord Vader. On our Facebook a couple days ago, I posted the clickbait-inducing Star Wars first LGBT character introduced to canon. Dun, dun, dun.
In the comics?
In a book.
In the book.
Yeah, in a book. Which is Disney-approved. As everybody knows, we talked about it here, and Ryan is still crying about it. They killed the extended universe. Like, everything A New Dawn, which was the first book Disney put out, and it was a introduction to Star Wars Rebels talked about Kanan and Hera. So that was the first Disney canon book.
See, and I don't think the left hand is talking to the right hand, because how much more about they're doing this to start a reboot, basically. But they're not thinking about, they have a movie coming out soon.
Well, I also posted on our Facebook that George Lucas was at a fucking New York comic book store buying Star Wars comics. And I put on there, don't you think Disney would just give him some complimentary copies? No, dude's in a comic book store like you and I buying comics. It's like, this is the guy. Without his creation, Disney, you got fuck all. Yeah. Give him a comic book, for Christ's sakes. Don't make him go and buy it like the rest of us.
It is kind of sad.
So, anyway, this character, the book is going to be in the upcoming, or the character is going to be in the upcoming novel, Star Wars Lords of the Sith. That's a original title there. Her name is Moth Mors, M-O-R-S, I suppose is how you spell it, and she's a lesbian.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So they didn't even go with a gay male. They kind of kept it safe with a lesbian.
Yeah, it's better to go butch, right?
I guess. We probably should have invited a lesbian on the show to help us out with this, because I know way more gay men than I do lesbians. But in my straight little non-homophobic world, it seems to me like lesbians are way more culturally accepted than gay men. I mean, not for us. We work in entertainment. We're around gay men all the time. Mitch may be a gay man. He hasn't said yet. But we're all around that all the time. Whereas culturally, like, look at Ellen. Ellen says, I'm gay, and no one cares. As a matter of fact, her ratings go up. Her talk show is, like, as big as Oprah now, from what I understand. I don't watch it, but I know, like, middle America moms, stay-at-home moms, like, love Ellen. But, you know, if this was, I don't know, who's a famous gay dude?
Rapu or
RuPaul. Exactly. Right. So RuPaul is on the gay TV network. I forgot what it's called, but he does RuPaul's Drag Race, and, you know, gay people that I know love that show. Absolutely adore it, and, like, can't wait for the next season to come on. They're like me with Walking Dead. They're like, fucking Drag Race, woo-hoo. But probably not that butch. They're not like Drag Race. They're like Drag Race. So
more fun point.
Yeah. Drag Race. Yay. So anyway, I just think that help dig me out of this hole, Mitch. I think that lesbians are more generally accepted by mainstream America.
I think what it is for a male to see a lesbian, they can look at it and go, hey, I don't care if I can tap it. That's great. If not, it's still cool to see girl on girl. You know, look at porn. You know, you see more and more girl on girl porn.
So hot.
And then the girls are more mentally understanding and mature than men are, so they can accept it better. So I think it is safer to go with a lesbian versus, you know, I'm blanking here on this, but
versus the gay man.
The gay man, basically. Yeah. Yes.
I also think that it's a safe choice, like you said, because if you take the typical heterosexual teenage male that is into Star Wars, or is new into Star Wars and will be reading the books, they're going to think the lesbians are the best thing ever anyway, because four boobs are better than two. And, you know, like you brought up the porn thing and everything. But if you put a gay man in there, like, immediately that primal douchebag, like, jock type, ooh, Star Wars has a gay dude in it. And then it's just going to stir all these jokes and might start.
Look at Brokeback Mountain.
Exactly. I actually was looking at the Brokeback Mountain Star Wars parodies earlier to play one on the show, but they're all just too long, and they work way better if you see them. I did, however, get this one, which I thought was...
I want to see what the Emperor has to say about this. Emperor, what do you have to say?
Oh, no.
Well, here, ironically enough, this is the Emperor and Anakin in their gay scene.
I will do whatever you ask.
So the Emperor, apparently. Let's get it on.
Nice.
Oh, yes. This is ridiculous.
No, it's love. Love between an emperor and a Sith Lord.
I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
Anytime. Oh, so Han Solo crashed his fucking plane while we were away, too.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. He's okay, so.
I love that picture, though. Of the... What's going on?
Apparently Anakin gave the Emperor a huge orgasm.
Ooh.
And he said, what have I done? Whatever, I don't know.
Yeah.
That was way better execution than ending.
Yeah, I love that picture that went around with the Millennium Falcon crashed.
Yeah, yeah. Someone put that on our Facebook, so it's out there if you want to see it. But thank God he's okay. But he's another one. Harrison Ford is in his fucking 70s. Why are you not flying a plane around? You're a multi-million-dollar movie star. Hire somebody else to fly your damn plane.
A plane is like another thing with a car. Look at Travolta with his big-ass 747.
Yeah, but Travolta, like, gets in the whole pilot's uniform, and
true.
He looks like he should work for Delta when he's flying his damn thing. He's just not out for a spin.
Yeah.
Like, I gotta go to the store, let me hop into my plane, like Harrison Ford was. And Harrison just got hurt, like, less than a year ago. Well, maybe a year ago now.
Well, and didn't he crash it in Florida?
He did crash it. No, he crashed it in California, but this is not the first plane crash Harrison Ford has had.
No.
Is the moral of the story here. Get somebody else to fly your fucking plane, Harrison.
Yeah,
we need you. We need you to pump out 2 more Star Wars movies, at least.
You figure you learned a lesson from JFK and their cursed life with airplanes.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Speaking of 2 more movies, if you saw it, we put on our Facebook as well. They already announced the release date of Episode 8, so...
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's May of 2017. Like, surprise, they should have put 7 out in May of this year, but they didn't want to compete with Avengers. So, in 2017,
okay.
It's going to be May 26th, which is almost the 40th anniversary of the release of A New Hope, so...
For a moment, I was going to say, it's like, if they go chintzy and go, like, May 4th, that would be just terrible.
So, anyway, gays in Star Wars, I'm for it. I really, this is my right-wing conservative side coming in. I really don't think it identifies you as a person. I don't care who you sleep with. It doesn't matter to me. What you do in your bedroom is your own business. If you think that identifies you as a person and you think that I'm wrong and being insensitive right now, you've clearly never listened to this show because I'm always insensitive. And this time I'm being sincere in that what you do doesn't define you. Like, if you're a lesbian, if you're gay, if I like you, I like you. It doesn't matter what you do in your bedroom. I don't know everybody's fascination with it. And does making this character a lesbian do anything for her character? And, well, I guess we'll have to read the book and find out.
It's probably just some kind of tension maker for the book or something.
Yeah, I just... call me crazy, but I just don't see the Empire being that accepting of the LBG, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered community. Like, they are very clearly a dictatorship, and like, if you look at every other dictatorship getting super political here now, look at ISIS, look at Muslims, look at all Christianity to some extent. They are not very happy to accept the gays in their community. So I can't imagine the Empire is just throwing their arms open and saying,
welcome.
Join the dark side. All right, let's go home.
Well,
You got something you want to talk about?
No,
now.
No, okay. We got some stuff coming up. Unfortunately, in less than a month away is Star Wars Celebration, which we won't be there.
No,
which is sad. But in less than 2 months away is Star Wars Weekends.
Yep. Which they haven't announced much for yet. They're doing that stupid merchandise thing again.
Yeah.
So tell me if this sounds smart to any of you guys. For the low price of $250, not including theme park admission. So unless you're an AP or something, try $350 to get into Hollywood Studios. You can get yourself a shiny new Magic Band.
Ooh.
A shiny new commemorative Star Wars pin.
They always have one.
A shiny new popcorn bucket. And fuck all else. Just to say you were in there able to buy merchandise before the event opens, a day in advance. More money than sense. You might see that orange Lambo from New Jersey parked out there because he's got money to do that.
Ooh, excuse me.
So, so yeah, that's a thing out here, boys and girls. If you want to pay $300 to go into Hollywood Studios to spend another $300 on merch, you can do so.
It's all those collectors out there.
No, clearly look around you right now. eBay, yeah, I'll give you that one. But it's the same shit. Other than the Magic Band and the pin, the popcorn bucket's going to be available the entire thing. I plan on buying one because it's like Han and Carbonite, which is pretty cool. And I bought the one last year. He's sitting in my living room, not even in here in my man cave where we record, just out there where everybody can see him because it's cool. So it's just a weird notion to me, but they'll sell out and people will like it. The only thing that adds value to me if I had disposable $250 laying around is that you get essentially a fast pass into Darth Maul the entire event. So yeah. If they release new shit like they did last year, they released the new shit on Father's Day, I think it was, and it's sold out like that, like no time at all.
Yeah.
If I have this fast pass and they are planning on staggering merchandise, that might be worth it because we waited in line on the busiest day, probably a good 20 minutes to a half hour just to get into essentially the convention floor where you buy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, and you walk in, it feels like a convention floor, too. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
So, well, hopefully something special
before
will come out.
Before then, we're going to go see Kevin Smith.
Yes, we do.
Butter Nugget's going with me, so I'll let you know how that goes, I'm sure.
Hopefully he'll have a better recording than his last
hopefully
show.
I can get us on stage and get a plug in like that podcaster did last time I went. I have more courage now because you're going and Tom's going. My easement on our show, but he's also my co-host from when I did Yakking Off with Jack and Tom, so that'll be good.
Yeah. So, I don't think anything else is coming up right now.
MegaCon's coming soon. Fanboy, if we go to that. I think we will go to Fanboy this year, because Darth Vader himself, David Prowse, is planning on being there, so that'll be cool.
That sounds good.
All right, do the promos. Let's go.
All right, campers, you can reach us at facebook.com/imperialjamboree or at imperialjamboree.podomatic.com. We also post on Stitcher and on iTunes, and also at Twitter at imperial_jam. And now back to the greatest man that ever lived, Jack Lambert.
Thanks, buddy.
You're welcome. Was that better?
I love you so much. Yeah, it was fun.
Okay.
All right, well, that's it. The new Avengers trailer dropped this past time since we recorded too, but we'll spend more time on that. There's actually a 29-hour movie marathon where they're showing all the Marvel movies in order, back to back to back to back to back, that I really want to go to, but I can't find anybody to go with me. So if you're listening and you want to go, I'm totally down if they still have tickets. I'm serious. I'll go sit there for 29 hours. So we've talked about the Avengers trailers in the past. There's really nothing else we can say other than the movie's going to kick ass, and that's that. So we posted it on our Facebook if you want to see it. If you haven't already, check it out and just know we're excited about it. And I personally like this trailer better than the other ones they put out. So there's that.
Yeah, I think they finally are listening to people and actually doing stuff. So I don't know how you can sit through 29 hours of Marvel movies, though.
I'm not going to sit through it. I'm going to sleep through probably half of it. So my plan would be I'd watch Iron Man.
Yes.
I'd sleep through Hulk.
Okay.
Potentially sleep through part of Iron Man 2, because Iron Man 2 is not great. As much as I love the character, Iron Man 2 is not great.
Yeah.
I'd want to see Thor, because I haven't seen Thor on the big screen. Sleep through Captain America 1.
Uh-huh.
And then just watch the rest. Watch, like, Iron Man 3, Thor 2, Guardians, Captain America Winter Soldier, which is far superior than Captain America 1.
Yeah.
And then maybe, only because I've seen it so much, like, take a quick nap during Avengers before Avengers 2 starts.
See, I don't know how you can sleep through those movies, though, of all the explosions and loud sounds.
I can sleep through an actual war, probably, so.
That's not a good thing. Like Red TV Dawn war. Comes.
We'll I'm be fucked. All right, so I bring up Marvel because Mitch has a cute little outro for us tonight, and we haven't talked Marvel yet, so good night, kids, and enjoy this.
Good night.
So, anything else going on?
Nope. That's pretty much everything, I think.
I'm gonna be in the universe! Did you hear? I'm gonna be in the universe!
Everybody is in the universe, you goof!
Not this universe! Woohoo! Marvel! Yeah! Reboot!
Well, he did just finish 2/3 of his last series. Seems like it's time for a reboot.
Oh, I hope it's not a reboot.
Why?
Because I'm so over reboots.
You just had a reboot. I'm gonna reboot with you when we get mad and fight for 2 hours.
Okay.
I want a reboot. Can I get all tatted up and wear a guy liner?
Sure. Okay.
Alrighty then. Well, see you later.
Everybody gets a reboot.
Well, that seems weird to me. Too many reboots cannot be a good thing. I mean, where does it end? Do we reboot Indiana Jones? Do we reboot Lord of the Rings? Do we reboot Harry Potter?
You hush your face.
Maybe Hollywood is right. Maybe we aren't original anymore. Maybe we do just make the same stories over and over and over.
Well, maybe it doesn't matter because we're awesome. And besides, some of us actually do need a reboot.
Okay, I'm back.
What?
And the reboot goes to Fantastic Four, where nobody likes the old movie.